You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I am Danny Wexelman with Richard Justice, who is talking Rangers baseball today. The man who literally knows everything about everything, in my very humble opinion. Happy Monday morning, Richard.
Happy Monday morning. Did you know my twin sister is a Rangers season ticket holder?
No.
Yeah, so I guess I know a lot about the Rangers.
I didn't even know you had a twin sister, so we're off to
a good start.
Yeah,
and I know a little more than I want to know about the Rangers at times.
Well, that's good to know because we have a couple of great topics
today.
Hold it.
Did you know that the Rangers' place in baseball history is that the ballpark nacho was invented at Arlington Stadium?
No.
Yes. So pretty much everything, one of the main things people love about the game the last 30 years has been started in Arlington. And they say the Rangers haven't contributed enough to Major League Baseball.
Little do people know that their favorite ballpark food originated.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
What I mean, I don't know why we're going to continue the podcast at this point, Richard, but I guess we'll talk about baseball now.
There's nothing you can't top that.
That's right. You can't, but we're going to try. We're going to try with our first very important topic. The Hall of Fame announcement is on Wednesday, and Vladimir Guerrero is up. He has a chance to finally get in the Hall, and I want to read you a really quick quote, Richard, before I get your opinion, but in 2010, Guerrero spent his time with the Rangers, and former Rangers manager Ron Washington said, quote, "He gave us an opportunity to experience the World Series and understand what that is. We already had players, but we needed a guy like Vladimir Guerrero who could make a difference. That's why he's going into the Hall of Fame, because he was a difference maker." Richard, is this Vlad's year to get into the Hall?
Well, I would hope so. Last year, in his first time on the ballot, 449 ballots cast, and he missed by 15 votes. He got 332, and he needed 347. And everything Wash said about that is true. And, you know, before he got to Texas in 2010, just those 11 years, 98 to 08, this is one of the great players ever played. I mean, his average year was 35 doubles, 34 homers, an OPS just under 1,000, a great player. I didn't see Clemente play in person.
Okay.
But if Roberto Clemente's arm was better than Vlad's, that's pretty special. And the other thing is, he hit the ball harder, more consistently than anybody I've ever seen. I think guys like Mike Socha would say that. This guy crushed the baseball. And along those lines of what Wash said, of what he did for the Rangers, Nolan Ryan comes out of the clubhouse one day when he was president of the Rangers and said, "That guy might be the greatest clubhouse leader I've ever seen."
Wow.
We have brown players and black players and white players and young players and old players, and they congregate around that guy. They do what he does. They follow him in terms of poise and work ethic. And here's the thing, Danny. As far as I know, Vlad speaks very little English. Mm-hmm. You never know what the guy's English a lot of times better in the clubhouse than
right.
It is with the media. They're less comfortable. Yeah, so this is a guy that's going to go into the Hall of Fame, not just as a great player, but as one of the most respected players of all time, and all the polls show he's going to get in. And for all those places he played, you know, in Montreal and Anaheim, his mm-hmm. stop in Texas and all that, there are going to be a lot of people probably happier for Vlad than they are for themselves. I'm sorry it's taken him two tries to get in, but he earned it.
All right, that's good to hear. So that announcement is on Wednesday. We are taping our podcast on Monday, so if you're listening, make sure you tune in to MLB Network on Wednesday for that very special announcement. Next up, Richard, we have Nomar Mazara, a guy who maybe hopes to go in the Hall of course one day, and it sounds like he's gearing up for his third major league season to improve everything. There's not necessarily one specific thing that he's trying to work on, and he was at the Rangers Caravan talking about team expectations, something that I talked about with Greg Johns just now, were the Fangraphs preseason projections, and not a lot of people are too high on the Rangers, but what can we specifically expect from Nomar Mazara this season?
Well, what we can expect from their corner outfielders is a lot.
Okay.
Nomar Mazara is 22 years old, and remember, he basically skipped Triple-A. The Rangers, when they brought him to the big leagues in 2016, that was a year ahead of time. He never once looked overmatched, and that was true the last 2 years. His second year was better than his first year. He's not a perfect player. He struggles at times against left-handed pitching and all that. But when you put him in left field and Willie Calhoun, who's a year older, in right field and has less major league experience, these are two guys the Rangers think they're going to grow the franchise around. Now, the reason the expectations for the Rangers are low is because we're none of us sure of the pitching. While Houston has assembled this super rotation, the Rangers at this point are dependent on comeback guys. You know, like Doug Fister being able to make a comeback, like Mike Minor showing that he belongs again, to line up behind Cole Calhoun and Martin Perez. So that's the bottom line. But you know what they have there? They have a great farm system. They have a great general manager in John Daniels, and they have a history of winning. So it's not smooth, but I just knowing them, knowing Doug Fister, the guys like that, I think they're going to be competitive. But it's going to be a great division. I mean, I think we all agree that the Astros are the best team and the Angels are the second best team, and then you have the other three teams fighting it out. And, you know, even a team like Oakland, don't overlook them. Mm-hmm. They've got a ton of young talent.
That's right. That's right. It's a toss-up. You know what else is a toss-up right now, Richard? Where you Darvish is landing. But we're not specifically going to talk about you, although very quickly, I want to know your journalistic opinions of him kind of breaking news and creating scoops on Twitter.
He's a funny guy, and he understands the media.
Yeah.
And that he understands that he's teasing us, and he's done that through the off season. But I would say this, you know, the reports are that the Brewers have made a formal offer to him.
Right.
He had dinner with John Daniels, you did, and I think knowing what I know about the guy.
Yeah.
He's waiting for the Rangers to make an offer. He's made his home in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Clearly, he's comfortable there. That's where he spent virtually all of his career until he got traded to the Dodgers at the end of last season. The Rangers have said they're in a cost-cutting mode. They want to cut back on payroll. They're not going to make the U is probably going to come out of this offseason with more money and more years than any other player. You know, the Astros talked to him and were willing to make that kind of commitment. So we'll see how that goes. I just think he's going to exhaust every possibility to return to Texas. And I still wouldn't count out it happening, even though they say payroll-wise they're going a different direction.
I totally agree. So,
and you know, if they have him, if you have him,
sure.
You have Hamels, you have Darvish,
yeah.
You have Martin Perez, and then you get Doug Fister, one of those other guys, Mike Minor, come of age. You've got a chance to be in the mix, because when you've got Adrian Beltre and Andrus and those guys, you got a really good competitive offense, and their bullpen's going to be better. So, we'll see.
He totally changes the dynamic, of course, of I feel like how fierce that team can be, how competitive they can be. But I feel like I've been doing this podcast now with TR for a couple of weeks now, and as we see the other teams in the AL West making these big moves, we haven't really seen the Rangers doing that. So, what, Richard, what are they doing?
Well, they're going cheap is what it amounts to. What they've done is add pitching, but it's not pitching. I think they've gotten better. You know, because they began the offseason with basically no rotation behind Hamels and Martin Perez. So you're at a decision making point at that time. You got Adrian Beltre, you're going forward, you're not going back.
Right.
So John Daniels went the inexpensive route. You know, he did that last year with Andrew Cashner and Tyson Ross and got great production. So now can Doug Fister make a comeback? At times, Doug Fister's been a top-of-the-rotation guy in there in Detroit behind Verlander, behind Scherzer. Matt Moore is a guy that at times in his career has pitched high-end. Mike Minor, high-end. You know, you would want one more guy for a little bit of certainty, especially since Martin Perez is out until April with right elbow surgery. But I just look at the roster and say you're not in a rebuilding mode. You don't have Adrian Beltre, who's going to the Hall of Fame. You don't have that guy go down the rebuilding road. You're going to trade him. And I pretty much think Adrian would want to be traded if they were going to a full rebuild.
Sure.
So I think the Rangers have one more move left in them.
Okay. All right. We're waiting with bated breath, Richard. Quick update on Martin Perez, who broke a radial bone in his right elbow in December. Says he's good to go for opening day. Can fans expect him to be fully healthy, though?
You know, I don't think we're going to know until he gets into a full-fledged throwing program. I would think May 1 would be more likely. The club has said April, sometime like that. But the one thing you have to be, you know, he's 26 years old, and you have to, I'm sure they're going to have to slow him down in spring training and just say, hey, take a deep breath. You're okay. It's a long season. We're going to need you this season. So they have every reason to be optimistic, but they just don't know.
Okay. All right. And next, Richard, I want to talk about Colby Lewis, because he made it official that he's retired, and he's going to be making his mark in the Rangers front office now. And what's he going to be doing?
He's going to be dealing with players. He's going to be dealing with pitchers. He's going to be dealing with community outreach. He's not the most popular player the Rangers have ever had.
Right.
But he's in the conversation.
Okay.
And what that guy has gone through in his career in terms of coming back from hip surgery, going to Japan and reinventing himself and coming back. There were times his wife would say to him, "You're going out to pitch tonight? You can't even walk." You know, he'd get off the sofa and he couldn't even walk. And he went through all these exotic surgeries. He probably got and missed all of 13, and he went to Japan for 2 years. But in terms of the respect of his teammates and the guts and pitching with pain, here's a guy that got everything out of his career that was there to be gotten. 2016 was his last year, but he wanted to pitch. He wanted to pitch again last year. He just ran out. And the Rangers wouldn't even sign him. You know, in these last 3 years, these free agent years, they would just say, "Okay, we know you want to shop around. You come back to us. We don't want you wearing any other uniform."
Right.
So, in the way we measure players, is not always by numbers, and in that way, to the guys who play with Colby, the guys who managed him, pitching coached him, and all of that, there aren't many people more beloved and more respected than Colby Lewis.
I like that. I like that, Richard. Okay, my last question for you, and this kind of goes along the lines of what are the Rangers doing? Well, they've got $3.5 million in international bonus slot money, and they've got their winter trip plan to the Dominican. Am I doing 1 + 1 = 2 here?
Yeah, this is what they do. They you know, going back to when AJ Preller ran their international scouting department, they've done a great job of signing and acquiring young talent, Nomar Mazara, and acquiring young talent like Willie Calhoun and Neftali Feliz, Elvis Andrus, guys like that. It's not an impact fans will feel this year.
Right.
But they're going to spend that money, and they're going to be better as an organization, and that will show up somewhere down the road.
All right, there we go. Now listen, if anyone needs their Richard Justice fix, you can basically go anywhere on MLB.com and check out his latest stuff. Richard, what's the next thing you're working on?
Mr. Anthony Kastrovitz tonight and I have a morning lineup podcast to do, and I don't know, I'm thinking it might be the best one ever.
The best one ever. And if you need to listen to it right away, you can check out Richard's Twitter, you can check out iTunes, you can go to MLB.com and our podcast page and listen to that with Anthony Kastrovitz. You guys are rock stars, and I am so appreciative of your time, Richard. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny.
If you still need your fix for the Rangers, you can go to Rangers.com and check out all of that good stuff there. For Richard Justice, I'm Danny Wexelman. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.